Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
I'm Drew Leiter.
I'm Cleese Jacobs.
And welcome to another edition of the Earth Station DCU. Tonight we're going to talk Mr. Miracle number 1, Titans number 14, Flash number 28, and our main topic, Intelligence, collecting Detective Comics 958 through 962. But before we get into that, let's talk some DC news. All right, Cletus, first up for some DC news. I saw that Superwoman is concluding with issue number 18.
I can't say I'm that surprised about it. To be totally honest, I'm surprised it made it to 18. I mean, we talked about it on the podcast. It kind of never went anywhere as a comic, and it was always very confusing and not the best written comic, in my opinion, and typically not great artwork on it either. It feels inevitable to me. I'm surprised it made it as long as it did. I'm glad that for the people that enjoy the character that they were able to get 18 issues out of it, so that's awesome for them. But I wouldn't say necessarily that it's the weakest title. In my opinion, Cyborg is pretty bad too, but I'm sure Cyborg sells better than Superwoman does, so that'd be a reason why it's still going.
I'm sure it does. And Superwoman started off so strong, and then it just kind of fizzled out after that. Basically, after Lois died.
I was never really satisfied with that either. Like, that never really felt fully resolved to me. Like, I know it sort of was resolved with the whole Superman Reborn storyline, but even that was still odd. It never really wrapped up the Superwoman part for me, I guess.
Right. Well, if you remember, we did talk about one issue where it seemed like they could have ended the series right there, but then they kept going.
Right. Oh, I agree. And the weird Lois Lane ghost thing, that just sort of went away, right?
After they never explained it.
Yeah, it just sort of wasn't around anymore. So I don't know. It was always, to me, an extremely confusing comic, which... it really shouldn't have been. Like, I really don't think it has a good excuse for being as confusing as it was.
Yeah.
Because it was an entirely new story. Like, it wasn't relying on years of, you know, back issues and stuff that would help you understand it. It was its entirely new concept, and it was still completely obtuse, in my opinion.
Well, if they were trying to make the reader feel like how Lana was feeling, kind of crazy, it worked.
I wouldn't say in a good way, but yeah, I agree.
All right, and other DC news, found out that there's going to be a new Arrow novel written by James R. Tuck and Mark Guggenheim, and it's supposed to tell the stories between Arrow Season 5 and Season 6. Now, the one thing I'm worried about this novel coming out, I hope they're not trying to wrap up loose ends from last season in this novel instead of addressing it on the show.
I doubt that. I mean, I will say there were a couple of times in the comics that they kind of wrapped up weird loose ends, but those were things that were out of their control. Like Bronze Tiger, why he never shows back up in the show. In reality, it's because the actor didn't come back to the show. He started doing other stuff. But as far as within that world, they wrote it off in a comic that he dies on some Suicide Squad mission. So they have done that, but it's usually with stuff that's they weren't able to tell on the show like that. So I don't think so. The thing that confused me, like, it's cool that they're coming out with another book, because I think they have a couple that I know of. doesn't season six start immediately at the end of? I wonder if there's going to be a, like, we're going to see that, and then there's going to be a time skip or something.
That's possible, because, yeah, it's supposed to start, as far as I know, it's supposed to start right back up where it left off.
I almost wonder if we're going to get, we're going to pick up, like you said, right away, and then there's going to be some skip ahead, and then the season goes from that skip ahead, or what, because otherwise there's no story to tell. For the, there's literally minutes in between. I can't fill out a book, so.
Yeah, and I'm hoping, like we've talked about before, I want them to finish the vigilante storyline on the show. I hope they're not just forgetting about it.
I really think that would get resolved on the show. I think. I don't think that they would just do that in the book. I don't think the assumption, especially with the books, even more so than the comics, I don't think the assumption is people have read them. I don't even know if a lot of people know that there is books out for this, for both The Flash and Arrow, to be honest. I mean, yeah. I think the only reason you and I know is because we work at a bookstore.
So. I know. I know. If I, you know, if I hadn't seen them there, I wouldn't even know about them.
Right.
So, and I know about them and still haven't read them yet.
I would be pretty surprised if there was, and like you, I would also be pretty disappointed if there was major plot lines resolved in that, but I really don't think they will.
In our next bit of news, Richard Dragon is cast for CW's Arrow. Now, I didn't remember this character.
So there's actually two versions of him. There is one from the 90s, I believe, during the Longbow Hunter series that we've talked about a couple times on the podcast, which is where Shadow originated. I think that's where he started. But the one that this character is based on is off of the Lemire run that I've brought up many times because it's excellent. It's sort of a new take on Richard Dragon. He's basically the son of a criminal, comes like basically almost like Batman, but as a villain, like goes and trains, essentially kills his sensei and becomes Richard Dragon and becomes this like nemesis for Green Arrow. He's a really excellent villain in Lemire's run. He's basically the second half villain of Lemire's run. The first half is really Komodo, who was actually on the show as a villain of the week, which was super disappointing. But then Richard Dragon was kind of the second half villain of Lemire's run. I really recommend people check out that whole run. Was in my opinion just excellent. The artwork is amazing. Lemire's writing is really on point. And Dragon's a great villain. And as I was reading that, he felt to me like he would be a great Arrow villain. Like, he fits the show really well. He's just a physical threat to Arrow. He's not like magical or anything like that. He's just an extremely adept fighter.
I wonder if he's going to be the villain of the season then. They've been talking about some big villain of the season that's going to be even worse than last season's villain.
He would fit the bill as a character. I'm assuming it's him. It's frankly, it, to me, it would be weird if he wasn't, I guess. Just based on who he was in the comics, it would be weird for him to be a minor villain. I suspect if he's not the main villain, he's going to be a major character. But I could be wrong. I really think he's going to be the main villain, though.
All right, well, we'll have to keep our eye on that. We're getting closer to the CW shows coming out. We're about a little over a month away, so we're going to start getting a lot of news from the shows soon. All right, and then for our last bit of news, take it away, Cletus.
So the director of the Shazam film, David F. Sandberg, tweeted out a leak of the first page of the Shazam script. I really recommend people check it out. It's super funny. We're going to post it to the Facebook page. It's really funny. That's all I got to say. Definitely check it out if you get a chance.
And I read it not too long ago, and it was hilarious.
Yeah. It is. Again, tongue-in-cheek leak. It is not real. This apparently some people didn't realize that it was a joke. They really ought to have. As soon as you read it, I think it would be, to me, very obvious that that's the case. But just to reassure listeners, it's not the real first page of the script, but in some ways it'd be really funny if it was.
It would be very funny if it was. All right, well, that wraps up our DC news for this week. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll do our comics talk.
Hey, guys.
Hi!
Check out Rec Level 3.
What's that?
We're a gaming, geek, nerd culture fandom podcast.
Ooh. Wow!
And you can find us every Friday at 11:30 a.m. on reclevel3.com.
Yay!
We got spoilers.
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 We've got spoilers.
Spoilers.
For you. We got spoilers.
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 We've got spoilers.
Spoilers.
For you. For you.
And we're back. Let's talk Mr. Miracle number one.
This was just everything I was expecting and hoping the comic to be. For me, personally, it was just amazing. It was just such a good comic.
Yes. One of the first things I noticed about it was it had the 9-panel grid throughout the whole comic.
Yeah, it did. And they used it really well. And I just, the artwork for me was fantastic. The sort of repeating Dark Side Is theme was really powerful, and the more, and it was much like with Watchmen, that repetition becomes stronger and stronger throughout the thing, and it brings that theme out. I just thought it worked really well. It was just a great, great comic. I am so excited for the remaining 11 issues of the series.
Now, did you find the story itself a little confusing?
I did, but I think that that's intentional.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, that it was intentional. I actually had to read it twice.
Yeah, this went, like, obviously I've certainly criticized comics. We just talked about Superwoman, but I think the difference between that is that this isn't a jumbled mess. This is sort of a mystery, in a sense, where we're trying to figure out what's going on. Like, Tom King definitely knows the story. Whereas I'm not entirely sure that the Supergirl team always had the story worked out as to what was going on. Or Superwoman, sorry.
Well, yeah, you could definitely tell the story is going somewhere. And
right.
It's just not, it just doesn't spell things out, that's all.
No, and I think that's sort of the point, is that the story is going to get kind of revealed to us more as we go along. Like, that one page where he's talking to the talk show host Godfrey, who I think a lot of readers will know has typically been a dark side stooge in the past. Are we sure Mr. Miracle really isn't dead? Like, that panel really got to me. I was like, oh, did he survive? I'm not sure. And that was the thing. Like, as I am just as unsure as Scott Free is about what's going on. Like, I felt that page really threw me off. I was like, oh, wow. He might actually be dead.
I didn't even think about that, him being dead.
It's just that one line. It was such a powerful line where basically, like, Mr. Miracle is basically like, it's almost like a PR thing where he's just playing it off like, oh, it was just another escape. Nothing to worry about, nothing to see here about the suicide attempt. And then there's that line. He's like, are you sure about that? And it was like, oh, ooh, are we sure about that? Oh, I loved that line. It was just, the way it threw me off balance, it was just great.
That's an interesting, I didn't even think about that. Because now that I flip back through it, this could be him going back through his life.
Yeah.
Interesting, very interesting.
And then, yeah, the whole interaction with the guy where he's breaking out of the handcuffs, and then Barda comes in, it's like, what are you talking about? He's been dead for months, you were there. It's like, oh, it was such a powerful comic, and yet so simple in a lot of ways too. Like, it wasn't dense with text and stuff. Like, it didn't feel overwritten to me.
What was the deal with him having to stand up and getting punched?
I believe, well, remember, Scott Free was, so Highfather and Darkseid, as sort of a peace treaty truce, exchanged their sons, and Orion was Darkseid's son and went to Highfather. Scott Free was the son that got sent to Darkseid, and he was basically sent to the camps, you know, as all of the other inhabitants of Apokolips are, and was trained by Granny Goodness to be a soldier of Darkseid. And that's how he eventually became Mr. Miracle, because he kept escaping from his prison until he became so good at it that he could get out of anything. And so I believe that that's sort of that punch to stand, that that's like a Apokolips thing. This has, like, you know, get you back into being a soldier for Darkseid.
Okay, I was wondering about that. And then the other thing I really liked about this issue was the placement of the Darkseid is.
Yes.
And if you notice, as you flip through it, it moves around from frame to frame until you finally get to the one big page, yeah, where it just says Darkseid is. And then after that is when Scott and Barda go back to Apokolips.
Yeah, and it was so, and just that sentence itself is just, that is, I'm pretty sure that that is the anti-life equation, right? Darkseid is.
Uh-huh.
And so, oh man, it was just, and it was very Watchmen-esque in that sort of, you know, kind of appearing and appearing and appearing, and then that full page spread, very much like Watchmen. It was just excellent. I could gush over this comic for for an hour. It was so good. My only disappointment was that I couldn't get a physical copy of this. I went to the, like a fool, I thought I could go to the comic book store on Thursday and still be able to pick up a copy. And I was very wrong. And it is sold out, at least in the indie area. It's gone, which is great. But also, I really wanted a copy of that.
It was really good.
Yeah, I highly, highly recommend people check this comic out. It is so good, and I am confident that it's going to continue to be this good for the next 11 issues. I am 100% in on this miniseries. It's just excellent.
And this is just coming out monthly, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So we'll be talking about it for the next year.
Yeah. I'm excited because it feels in a lot of ways like it's not the same story, but it feels a lot like what King did with the Vision for Marvel, where he just basically told this really intimate 12-issue Vision story that's just excellent. It's just really, really good. And it feels like this is sort of doing the same sort of thing in, like, just telling a definitive, excellent Mr. Miracle story. And I think this sort of project, he's been great on Batman, don't get me wrong, he's been excellent on Batman, but this sort of story, I think, is what DC hired him exclusively to do, was to produce a story like this that, you know, is, frankly, I'm pretty sure this is going to at minimum get nominated for an Eisner, if not win an Eisner, like the Vision just did for him. So this is an excellent comic, and I fully expect it to be up for various comic awards.
All right, well, let's move on to our next title, Titans number 14.
So this, all of the Titans issues remind me of it, but this one in particular, I was laughing somewhat unintentionally at how similar it was to the Bugs Legion of Superhero crossover one with all of the angst.
Okay, they had to stop in the middle of a fight
to fight each other over, yeah, Donna. Oh my god!
I know that is. I know. I thought that was funny. I was like, that. I knew I was going to be bringing this up during the podcast. I'm like, they had to stop in the middle of a fight just to teen romance stuff.
I mean, to be fair, it's pretty much every issue of Titans has been like this, and that's fine. Like, it's still definitely a fun read. And that's just part of its charm. It just, this one in particular just reminded me so much of the tongue-in-cheek Legion of Superheroes comic, but this was, I thought, not tongue-in-cheek, and that just made it even funnier.
This issue was an issue of drama.
Oh my gosh, so much drama, so much. The fight wasn't even, I thought, to me, the fight was fine, but it was really weird when all of a sudden Garth was like, I love you, that's my one secret, and my second secret, I know magic. And it was like, that was a secret? I guess I didn't realize that they hadn't put that together yet.
So, and then apparently he knows magic, but he's an ex-magician. He doesn't want to use his magic, though he used his magic.
But I don't, so what I didn't get was that he had already explicitly told them that he was training at that magic school, but had left. So it's like, of course he knows magic. He was training at a magic school. What do you think he was doing there? Learning how to sharpen pencils? And those girls, the reason he even said, the reason they were so interested in him was because he had shown such promise as a magician or with magic. And it was like, how is this a secret? I had already, I guess I hadn't assumed that I actually thought his water powers were magic based, I guess. Apparently that was wrong, but at least based on just this comic, I would have already assumed, having known nothing about the character. I would have assumed that he knew magic, so that was just odd. It was very odd, and then the way the dialogue was written was just made it very clunky to me.
Okay, let's move on to the betrayer. I'm like, really? Nightwing's the betrayer?
Yeah,
I just couldn't buy that one.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be some sort of brainwash thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Was that at the end? Was that supposed to be Hive, or was it supposed to be the Court of Owls? I couldn't tell.
I'm almost positive it was Hive, because some of the panels were literally like, you know, beehive shaped.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't notice that when I was reading it.
I could be wrong. I am pretty confident though.
The reason why I didn't buy it is it just doesn't fit in with what's going on in the Nightwing title.
It doesn't fit in with Nightwing as a character at all.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's not brainwashing, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I agree with you.
To be fair, it doesn't make sense for any of them, but apart from brainwashing. So, I mean, I can't really fault the comic there, but yeah, Nightwing in particular seems odd. He seems more odd than, like, Arsenal, for example. Not that Arsenal's a bad guy, but, like, I could believe that he could get blackmailed or something like that. But Nightwing is a little bit more difficult, I guess.
Yeah. Especially after being a spy and stuff.
Right.
It's just weird. And, he was trying to blame it on Lilith. Of course, Lilith ends up going back to Simon, and I was like, okay, why is she going back to Simon for it? I mean, I guess from what I read, it seemed like she thought he was behind it or something, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It was really, really weird.
Yeah.
And lots of drama.
So much drama.
But I've been enjoying that title.
Oh, no, it's definitely... It's a fun read.
All right, let's move on to our next title, which is Flash number 28. Now we're seeing the Flash's new abilities from the Negative Speed Force. And apparently when he runs now, he causes a destructive wake.
And it's clearly also affecting his personality. Like, we're seeing a much angrier, more violent Flash, which we could basically assume. I mean, he's a... Negative Flash, like he's out, like that sort of implies that there's going to be some personality changes, but yeah, just in case there was any doubt, this comic made that very clear.
Yeah, one thing I did like about this comic was how I was focusing on Barry and the lab and the mystery of the evidence stealer. I'm really intrigued by that part of the story.
Well,
more so than his negative speed force.
Unless the two are connected, though, what I thought was odd about this issue was that it was introducing two different storylines. It was introducing the evidence thief, but it was also introducing the rogues essentially trying to scheme their way out of prison. I assume they're connected, but I'm not convinced that they are. So that was a little odd. So I don't know if they're doing where they're setting up multiple storylines and they're going to resolve them, you know, at different points, I guess. I mean, that's how a lot of these Rebirth titles have done. They've sort of introduced multiple threads and then just slowly explored each of them, which is not bad, but is a little odd sometimes where you kind of are waiting around for them to resolve a storyline that they introduced issues ago. Like, for example, the Black Circle group.
You mean the Black Hole group?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Black Hole. They've been gone for so long, I don't even remember.
Yeah, because that storyline's still open.
Hanging on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of different loose threads that, in a sense, it's nice because it keeps me interested because I want to see what happens with those. But I guess I would appreciate maybe focusing on just one or two at a time.
I can tell you, I'm interested in the mystery of the evidence stealer, but the negative,
I am too.
The negative speed force, I'm just kind of ready for him to get his powers back.
It just feels like, to me, it feels like his version of the symbiote suit for Spider-Man. That's basically what it's like. It's basically like his version of Venom, and it's just like we've seen that story in a sense, right? I mean, I know it's a different property, but
yeah,
we've basically seen Hero gets a dark new suit, but it slowly corrupts him. We have seen that story told very well and very iconically. We don't need to see that with the... It doesn't really suit the Flash either, in my opinion. So.
No. So you think he's going to be able to shed this negative speed force and it's going to create a new villain?
I think he's going to end up in a bell tower. And one of his co-workers is going to be there, and the negative speed force is going to fall on him.
Maybe they'll end up in the watchtower in Gotham.
And then that speed force is going to create another speed force, and before you know it, there's going to be like all the Iron Man to keep track of all of them.
Hey, maybe we'll have a green speed force and
exactly,
and a yellow speed force, and a red speed force. Yeah. I'm interested in seeing where the Flash goes, but I hope they get rid of this negative speed force thing soon.
I really don't think it's going to be more than a 6-issue story. My concern is, I am much more interested in the evidence thief, and I feel like this other story, this Rogue storyline, is, as much as I like the Rogues, it's going to distract from that, much like how Barry is getting distracted from that case. We, the readers who want the resolution to that, are going to have to wait around.
I hope we don't have to wait around long.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that wraps up that part of the comics talk. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk the Detective Comic Intelligence story arc.
Haven't been listening to the RevCast? Here's what you're missing.
The sharks have an economy based on gold.
Apparently.
You have a shark like decked out like Mr. T with the bling all over
it. Oh, now I want to see that. I want somebody to draw a picture of a shark with a mohawk. I pity the
I'm done. The RevCast by RevolutionSF.com. Available at RevolutionSF.com, iTunes, and part of the ESO network.
And we're back. Let's talk Detective Comics 958 through 962, the Intelligence story arc. So I've been kind of curious to see what you thought of the story arc.
It was pretty good. I will say, going into it knowing that the 90s Batman suit was supposed to be making a comeback, I was not sold on that, let's just say. because I am not a fan of that costume personally. Not really a fan of that era either. So I thought they told this story as best as I could have hoped for. I really enjoyed it, and I am also very glad that he only wore that suit for one issue.
I was a big fan of the Nightfall series when it came out back in the 90s. Have you ever read the Nightfall storyline?
I have read Nightfall. I have not read the sort of the two after that that are sort of like the Azrael storyline.
Okay. Because in that version, after Bruce's back gets broken by Bane, instead of Dick Grayson taking over as Batman, Jean Paul Valley becomes Batman, and then he just kind of goes crazy because he has what's called the system, brainwashing basically, and he starts building this other Batman costume, and he was supposed to be a darker version of Batman, and
the only, 90s version of Batman.
Yeah,
and let's be real here.
I didn't really care for that version of Batman. I was happy when Bruce Wayne came back.
Yes.
But it was a good story for what it was.
Right. Well, that was the thing, and I liked what they did with this. Like, it worked well within the story, but I'm glad that they kept it contained to this. Like, I very much was interested in this exploration of the Azrael character, but I'm not interested in seeing him be that Claw's Batman either. Like, I'm more interested in continuing to be Azrael as the end of the comic established.
Right. Now, this Azrael was different from the one I was used to from the back in the early 90s. The one back, like I said a few minutes ago, the one back in the 90s was just brainwashed. This one, this new version of Azrael seems to be, he was brainwashed, but he's like connected to a artificial intelligence also.
Yeah.
Which is a suit, and it took a little bit for me to wrap my head around that because it just seemed weird.
Yeah. It was pretty interesting. And I thought, the thing I thought was really cool is that it allowed to highlight Fox Batwing really well as well, because he's sort of a natural pairing with any sort of technology story.
This is my real first, because I haven't really read about Batwing before. I mean, he popped up a couple times in Rebirth. But this let me get to see him more as a character, because I didn't really don't know anything about him. Because wasn't he introduced in the New 52?
To my knowledge, yes. That could be wrong, but to my knowledge, yes, that is correct.
Okay, so I didn't really
know. I believe he's the second Batwing. I don't think he was the original one.
Okay.
Because Grant Morrison introduced a Batwing, and then at some point in the New 52, the younger Fox took over.
Now, I really like to the look we got of his character. I like how they started it off with, what's his name? Is his name Duke?
No, Duke is the...
Oh, he's Batman's new partner. He's going to be the Signal. Let me just open up the comic and look. I can't remember what his name is. But I liked it. I like how they started it off with him and Jean Paul Valley and Kate at the NBA game. And
I think it's Lucius Fox Jr., I think. Luke, or I think they just call him Luke.
Okay. Luke, yeah, I think that's right. Luke, him, Jean Paul Valley, and Kate are at an NBA game. And Jean Paul is like, hey, you're not even watching the game. Because he had his tablet there, but we find out he's actually doing statistics and figuring out where the players are going to be on the floor and all this other stuff. You know, really techno.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool to see.
Well, it really just highlighted the intellect of that character as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was neat.
That was very neat. And I like the fact we got to see these characters and their civilian identities interacting with each other, hanging out. Yeah. Because we don't get to see a bunch of that.
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed that. I also liked the brief scene we got with Clayface doing Shakespeare with Orphan. That was fun.
That was really cool. I also like the Shakespeare thing with Clayface and Orphan.
Or Cassandra, whichever one.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that also. I just like this whole story arc because we got to experience the characters outside of them just fighting as a team.
And it wasn't too Batman focused either. Like, we got a good Batman story, but it was equally everybody else's story too, which has not always been the case. This was such a strong rebound from the Cassandra story. I really thought her storyline was bad, in my opinion. I really did not like that arc. And this one was a huge improvement quality-wise.
Right. Plus, we didn't know what was going to happen beforehand. The Cassandra storyline, we pretty much knew what was going to happen.
It was so obvious. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was just not a good story arc. I will say I wanted to gloat a little bit that I was correct in that Cassandra storyline when Roz performs the magic on Bruce, and I said it was Zatara. Who was it? It was Zatara. I'm a genius. What can I say?
Okay, you're not fooling yourself.
Not at all. Not at all.
That was another part I really liked about this story was we got to see Bruce and Zatanna interacting, and we got to see a little bit of their childhood and where they're at as adults. And yeah. I really enjoyed that part of the story a lot.
Yeah, I did too. I was thrilled to see her cameo because she's a really cool DC character, in my opinion. And they never, much like some other DC characters, they don't make full use of her sometimes. But she's really cool. It's just like the whole backwards magic thing is such a cool concept. And I feel like she's one of the more relatable magic characters that they have. Like, I feel like she's easier for casual readers to get into than some of their other guys that they have. Yeah, I was thrilled to see her. I also love that we got a little bit of Zatara because he's such a like old school, golden age throwback. It's cool when they actually include him a little bit.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought was cool was we got to see Ra's al Ghul dealing with Zatara. And, yeah. You know, they had some sort of relationship back then that's going to affect what's going on the here and now and upcoming stories. We're not done with that. We're not done with him yet.
No, definitely not. And we found out that there's some sort of, like you said, benefactor that even Roz is working for. So I'm very curious to see who that is. And I'm curious if that's going to be the next storyline or if that's going to continue to be teased for some future story.
Yeah, I'm really interested in that, too. So, and I got the feeling that we're going to be seeing Bruce dealing with magic a little more. So I'm hoping we get to see more Zatanna in the future, too.
I mean, I would love to see them. It was a comic that definitely, I've mentioned it before, had some definite highs and lows. But the Justice League Dark was such a great concept for a comic. And when it was good, it was really good. And it was a great way to have the different magical characters be around because they get forgotten so often. Obviously, she was one of the main characters. So I would love to see them bring that back, especially because I think they're going to have some openings for some new books. So, yeah.
Now, did you find some of the St. Dumas things confusing?
I don't know. I felt like I got what I needed to know for the story, which was basically that Azrael's dad basically purged the Order, seemingly at the behest of Ra's al Ghul. So I don't know. I felt like I got what I needed from it. It also helped I had a little bit of info from the few times the Gotham show actually informed me a little bit about the Order of St. Dumas. So yeah.
So. Yeah, because it was a little change from what I remembered from the past, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, as comics are wont to do.
Yeah. So, from what I gathered, the Order of St. Dumas is gone now, except for his father, which I'm guessing we're going to be seeing more in the future. And they also introduced, like, the bad guy version of Azrael, Ascalon, Which,
at least at that point, he was no longer.
That was the real villain behind the story, was Ascalon, and it was an artificial intelligence.
Yeah, and it was cool. I thought at the end there, it was going to turn into, in a lot of ways, it was very reminiscent of Ultron, especially when he was like, I've uploaded my consciousness basically into like all technology. I was like, wow, this is literally Ultron. But I thought it was really interesting, the sort of end of that with Zatanna. I feel like we might see that version of the character that has changed come back at some point.
Yeah, you know what? I could see that too. And it was very reminiscent of Iron Man 3 when it took over all the Batwing suits.
Yeah, it was a very Ultron-like character, but very different in the end. And I'm very curious to see if they ever... And not necessarily within this book, not that I would say no to that, but by somebody doing something with that character at some point.
Now, what did you think of the solution that they came up with? Part of the Bruce Zatanna part of the story was about this orb that would give you all knowledge.
Yeah.
And it talked about Zatanna being tempted to use it and Bruce being tempted to use it to answer their questions about some of the mysteries of life. I was very surprised when Zatanna gave it to Ascalon as the solution of the problem. I wasn't expecting that at all.
Right, but that's what that was the most interesting thing to me with it's not that it was a bad villain, but it became very intriguing to me once it gained that orb and basically was like, oh, I get it now. And stops being the murder machine that it is. So it basically goes from being Ultron to becoming something completely different. Like, as you know, like this all-knowing being. But yeah, it reminded me in a lot of ways of what the Amazo robot became in the Justice League show. Do you remember, like, at first it's like the traditional Amazo android, but then it sort of goes off and leaves to be, you know, basically become like a higher being, gaining different knowledge. It reminded me a lot of that. And I'd be very curious to see a comic that explores that and where basically almost where that child subconscious part of Asriel that becomes like manifested as a kid. I would love to see a comic where it's just like that robot suit and that kid doing some sort of crazy like sci-fi adventure thing. That would be really cool.
That would be cool. I could also see them using this character to come back and manipulate things in the DC universe.
Yeah, it felt like it became a benevolent force at the end to me.
Yeah.
That phrase, the I get it now, your love. It was like, oh yeah, okay. So that was really, it was a cool line. And like I said, it was a very engaging villain, but it was even more interesting, the sort of change at the end there. I would really love to read a story that explores that.
Then, one of the last things it does is it tells Batman Tim Drake is still alive, and yeah. Everybody's just shocked.
Yeah. Except for us.
I wasn't shocked. I was shocked about it revealing that to Batman. And the whole group. I was in the break room reading it. When I got to that part, I yelled out excitedly into the break room, people staring at me.
That's
because I wasn't expecting it at all. I was like, whoa! Now they know. They know Tim Drake's alive now. And it got me even more excited for the Lonely Place of Living storyline that's coming up soon.
Yeah, I agree.
So excited about it. I noticed they're starting to advertise the Mr. Oz reveal storyline, too.
Yeah, I'm very curious to find out who he is.
I know, me too. So they're starting to advertise that in the comics, and I'm like, whoa. So we're getting closer. I'm getting excited. I'm excited for September.
Yeah. DC's putting out some really good stuff right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're really in a great place right now, comics-wise.
Yes, they are.
I want to mention also, talking about DC's comics, that I know we stopped talking about it because it was frankly awful when it launched, but apparently Aquaman has made a huge turnaround and is actually quite a good comic now. Even Aquaman has turned the corner.
was that after issue 25 or?
It's whenever the new artist was brought on. I think it was around. It was that one that they kept advertising at the end of all the comics, around like issue 20, 21 or so. Hmm. Apparently, it's just been great since that point. So I just wanted to throw that out for listeners in case either they already knew about it, in which case, you know. You are more on the ball than me, but in case you were wanting a good Aquaman title and were discouraged by the initial run, it is apparently drastically improved.
That's cool. I might have to go back and check it out then.
Yeah. Like I said, I can't remember the specific issue number, but it's around issue 20-ish. It's whenever the new artist was brought on and really improved the quality, which doesn't surprise me because that was one of the weakest parts of the comic, was how poorly drawn it was.
I know they mentioned in, was it Teen Titans? Yeah, I think it was in Teen Titans. They mentioned,
It was Titans. It was during Titans. They mentioned that Aquaman is not the king anymore.
Yeah, and I remember seeing an advertisement about that happening in issue 25, and I was wondering if it was just some sort of gimmick or something. But maybe
that is part of the storyline that's been really good. It might have even been the conclusion of that.
All right. I might have to go back and check it out then.
Yeah.
I did collect Aquaman for a time back in the 90s.
He's had a couple good runs. And like I mentioned on the podcast, the initial New 52 run with Geoff Johns and Ivan Reese is really good. Of course, it's well drawn. And of course, it's well written. It's, you know, it's Geoff Johns, but it was really good. And then I was just the Rebirth relaunch was just not good at all. But I am happy to report that has changed.
Awesome. That's always good to know when stuff like that changes. All right. Well, that wraps up our show for this week. Did you have any shout outs, Cletus?
I thought since the focus was on this Azrael story that people should check out the original story that he came from, as well as where that suit came from. Of course, Nightfall is what sets up that story. That's a very famous story. But then the two after that are Night Quest and then Night's End. And those are the two that really actually focus on Azrael. And Drew, you mentioned some of the stuff that goes on with that, where it's sort of the rise and fall of Azrael as Batman.
Yep, that was going to be my shout out for this week too.
Great minds.
But since Cletus gave that shout out, I'm going to give this shout out for another Azrael story. There was a story that came. It was a prelude to Nightfall called Batman, sort of Azrael. It was a storyline which was written by Dennis O'Neill, which was the editor of the Batman comics at the time, and it was illustrated by Joe Quesada and Kevin Nolan. And it was published from October 92 to January 1993. And it was basically a miniseries. And it introduced Azrael. And I believe it, if I remember right, it kind of gave his origin. So that's going to be my shout out to check out. If you'd like to comment on anything we've talked about, you can call our line at 317-564-9133. Leave us a message. If we like what you say, we'll play it up on the next episode. Or you can email us at earthstationdcu@gmail.com. All right, next week, kind of excited about next week's episode. We're going to be talking about Dark Knight's Metal number 1. And for our main topic, we'll be talking about Batman and Harley Quinn animated movie that just got released digitally. Excited about that. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Time to go.
You sure this is necessary?
The Guardians of the Universe seem to think so.
How long will you be gone? But we will be back, little brother.
I wish I could go with.
I doubt your mother would approve.
I'll miss you.
Perhaps you could water the plants in my apartment while I am gone.
Be careful, all right?
May the gods be with you all.
We'll be right back. This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.